And it's going. Okay. This is the continuity of scripture class Sunday morning. We're in the Glory of God series. It is week 6. And the title, half of the title is The Angel of the Lord. We'll find out what the other half is as we proceed. And the date is March 2nd, 2025. Okay. I put on your handout the website where I send Paige the audio recordings and the handouts, and if anyone is interested in ever accessing that handout, that website, because it has audio recordings and handouts from many years ago. But the reason I put it on today's handout is because there are some of you who might not have ever had a study, sat under a study of the Angel of the Lord. And we are going to summarize more of the Angel of the Lord this morning, and this might go into next week. But we have a completed the Angel of the Lord study from week 9 in November, on November 5th, 2024. If you're interested, you can check out that handout. And if you want to listen to the audio, that's up to you. But 2 weeks ago in the Tuesday morning class, where we also studied the angel of the, rather the glory of God, and we're quite a bit ahead of where this class is, and that's okay because we don't have the interaction that we have here because it's too big a class. And but we saw God's grace. 2 weeks ago, we had a lesson entitled God's Grace in the Midst of Judgment. Just think about that. God's grace in the midst of judgment. And you might say, well, how is that even possible? Mm-hmm. Okay. Doesn't that sound a little bit oxymoronish? Is that how you say that word?
Moronic.
Or moronic. But you got, no, it's Yiddish. So the ish is where I'm coming from. Anyway, but the glory of God. Now, glory, what's the Hebrew word for glory? Kavod, right. And it means
weightiness.
All who God is, all his attributes exist and operate simultaneously at all times. That is so huge. Bobby and I were talking about that. This morning I said that made such a big difference. What's the matter?
No, just our conversation
right,
about it.
Right. That made such a big difference when I understood that for the first time, that they operate, all his attributes operate, they exist and they operate simultaneously. So, and Bobby was saying, well, didn't you believe in the immutability of God, that he doesn't change? And I said, yeah, that was my favorite attribute, even going through Bible college. I don't know why, but it was, as a new believer. But I didn't equate it to having all these attributes operate at the same time, simultaneously. Okay. And attached to your handout is the list. It's not exhaustive. It's the last page, and it's double-sided, of God's attributes. And so that's for you to study, you know, on your own. But in Scripture, we see God's holiness, his justice, by which God, and God deals with sin, with man's sin, because he is holy, because he is just, because he must deal with man's sin, okay? And judges man's sin, visits with famine and drought and plagues, etc., while he extends mercy and grace while all his attributes are operative. Okay? So we've studied the angel of the Lord many times in this class. That's why I didn't want to go through another study of it, because it's been, you know, we were looking at it in the, no, we weren't, in the March, rather, the November time frame. We probably weren't, but it wasn't that far beyond in the past, that time frame. But this is going to be expanded. We're going to summarize it, and it's going to be expanded, okay, perhaps into next week. But how would you summarize, because we've talked about it many times, I'm going to ask you questions, how would you summarize the angel of the Lord? Realizing that, I said to Bobby, I don't think I've ever heard a sermon on the angel of the Lord. Have you, Michelle?
I have been to church
think so.
Mm-mm. No.
But the angel,
yes,
is a pre-incarnate Jesus. Yeah.
Right. Okay, that's a good summary. Did you hear what Richard said? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The angel of the Lord is pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Yes. Yes. And in our glory of God study, we have seen that God's glory is his visible manifestation of himself, which he reveals to the world. And when I talk about visible manifestation of himself, how does he appear? Because God is in unapproachable light, we're told, you know, in 1 Timothy 6:16. So how does God appear?
Fire.
Yep.
Cloud.
Yep.
Light. Rainbow.
I don't know about rainbow. I never heard that.
From Noah?
Yeah. Yeah, he could, you know. Yeah.
That was a sign.
Okay, a sign? Okay. Okay.
Okay.
It is light, but okay. So we'll just stick with cloud, light, fire, and then two in physical form. Physical form, mm-hmm. All right? And as far as the physical form, there's one such form is the angel of the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And in Hebrew, the word for angel is malach, malach. And malach means one who is sent, or it means a messenger. That's more the common definition, a messenger for angel. And it could be either human or angelic. And there is one malach, however, who stands out from all the rest, and that is the angel of the Lord. And of the 214 references for malach in the Old Testament and the Hebrew scriptures, 33% are translated as the angel of the Lord, who is distinguished from all other angels, right? The angel of the Lord represents God, yet the scriptures present this angel as more than God's representative. This messenger appears to have the powers and abilities that are only seen in God himself, okay? So there's that distinction, yet he is God, okay? Which can get confusing. But scripture doesn't contradict itself, so we need to also keep that in mind. The angel of the Lord speaks as God. The angel of the Lord promises to deliver to the one with whom he's communicating only what God can deliver. The angel of the Lord has been referred to as a rather mysterious figure who appears suddenly. He appears dramatically. He appears frequently in the Hebrew scriptures, and the angel of the Lord does not ever appear in the New Testament. And that's very insightful as to who the angel of the Lord is, okay? And where do we read about the angel of the Lord? I've got bullet points for you, and you can look up the Bible references. Very first time the angel of the Lord appeared to anyone was in Genesis 16, and it was to Hagar. Hagar was the Egyptian woman that Sarai and Abraham brought back from the time that they went to Egypt, not exactly, you know, told by God to go to Egypt. They went to Egypt. Abraham told Sarai to lie, tell him you're my sister, etc. And when they returned with Hagar, the Egyptian maid, who became Sarai's maid. And Abraham could father a child through Hagar when Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham. And that's what happened. And then, second bullet point, the angel of the Lord stopped Abraham from sacrificing Isaac. Angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in flames of fire from within the burning bush that was not consumed. Angel of the Lord delivered a message to Israel when they were very much veering from God. They were not obeying his commands. In fact, let's turn, because this will give us a good picture, too, of who we're looking at, who we're talking about. Let's turn to Judges, and it's chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Judges 2, 1 through 4. And it says, Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal. Does Gilgal sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is it?
Where they first camped.
Yes. Yes. Very good, Pat.
My notes are pain.
Oh. Gilgal is where the children of Israel first camped when they came into the land of promise. Okay. So that's where the angel of the Lord came up from, Gilgal to Bochim, and said, the angel of the Lord said, I led you up from Egypt. Oh, okay. And brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. Oh, so who brought them up? Who swore to their fathers? And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Whoa. These are words that, you know, are from God,
yeah.
Right? And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. What? How did I say that? And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, period. But you have not obeyed my voice. That gets me. But you have not obeyed my voice. This is God talking to them. You have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Every time I read those two sentences, it really strikes me. Why have you done this? Because I can just hear God saying to me, why have you done this? Why have you done this? And therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out, meaning all the ites in the land of promise before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. So it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Well, very touching, truly touching setting. And then we see the angel of the Lord commissioning Gideon and performing a miracle for Gideon. That's kind of a comical exchange, not an exchange, but the angel of the Lord comes and sees Gideon threshing wheat in a wine press because he's trying to hide it from the Midianites who will steal that wheat. And the angel of the Lord says, oh, great man of valor. He's hiding, you know. And but then, you know, Gideon have a lot of communication with one another, and we see victory. Then the angel of the Lord visited Manoah and his wife. So his wife doesn't have a name. So I'm going to call her Mrs. Manoah, okay? And they were the parents of Samson, and prior to Samson's birth, the angel of the Lord came to them. So let's look at Judges 13 and see this exchange. It's just fascinating. I love the study of the angel of the Lord. So we're going to look at Judges 13, verse 6. And because the angel of the Lord kept coming to the woman, Mrs. Manoah, okay? And I think Manoah was getting agitated about that. But it says in verse 6, so the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome. So we get another verbal picture of what the angel, how the angel of the Lord was impacting people. And then she says, but I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said, verse 7 says, and he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Drop down to verse 17 then, in Judges 13. And it says, then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you? And we'll read to verse 20 here. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? And when I read that, probably for the 10th time, I thought, whoa, you know, it didn't impact me perhaps. The light bulb. Because what is he saying? Oh, delife.
I did a word study of that word, and in the Hebrew, that word is, I don't know how you say it, Pele?
Yeah, Pele, Pele.
It's only used of God. It's used, it means extraordinary, wonderful, mm-hmm. surpassing. It's only used of God, never of man.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's used in that verse, also in Psalm 139:6. And then in Isaiah 9:6. in 28:28.
And it's a variation. The one in Judges 13 is a variation of the one in Isaiah 9:6, but the root word is always the same. You know, it comes from the same root word, which is just what you're saying.
Yeah.
Surpassing and marvelous and, yeah.
Yeah.
So only used of God.
You never see it used to describe any person, but only
Mm-hmm. And they would know, you know, they would know then, especially the way Mrs. Manoa talked about the angel of God, you know, being awesome. Okay. But God is more than awesome. But anyway, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. In fact, the words in your handout, I think I included the words. Yeah. But the angel of the Lord brought a plague on Israel, second to the last bullet. Okay, he brought a plague on Israel during David's time, and 70,000 men died in that plague. Okay. He appeared in a vision of the prophet Zechariah, and you can read those references at home. But any questions so far about the angel of the Lord, Richard?
Although a Hebrew name, you know, describes a person who they are.
Right.
And how does God describe everything he is in one word? That's my name. That's wonderful.
Going back to wonderful.
Just a name describes who you are.
I liked what it said, surpassing all. And, you know, because it said extraordinary, but surpassing all. That says it right there, too. I mean, that helps. That definition helps for the word wonderful. So.
I think it's interesting that the first person the angel of the Lord appeared to was Hagar, who was going to be the mother of all the nations who, to this day, oppose Israel.
Yeah. There's that conflict, right? But, you know, I used to say, and I think I'm going to mention this, I don't think I mentioned it last Tuesday, but I used to say there's a tension that we see in Scripture. We don't see a tension. We see harmony. But there's conflict. There's conflict, but everything works together for good. Everything works according to God's will, what he has willed to have happen, and it's all for his glory. And we really see that wrapped up in the study of God's glory. You know, that really makes it more understandable to us. I really do. But I think that too, Pat, that it's very interesting that he came to Hagar first. He came to her one time, and then the second time too, you know.
And all of the people that he had told the Israelites to get rid of their idols and everything else probably were the descendants of Hagar.
Yeah.
So it's his plan. We just are watching it play out.
Right. Esau, you know, Esau and Jacob, brothers, Esau sold his birthright. He married one of Ishmael's daughters. So when you read about Edom in Scripture, Edom means red. Esau means red. There's a connection between Edom and Esau. And just check out, and if you're so inclined, Ezekiel 35 and Ezekiel 36. Because I went to that scripture when I went to a conference, a luncheon, where somebody was being questioned. Somebody within work in the Middle East, okay, and was questioned about the land and God promising the land to Israel, you know, so how do they feel about it? And this person said, you know, who belongs to the land now? You know, who has been promised the land? And what do you think about that? And he introduced his thoughts that I'm not going to, his comments that I'm not going to go into in any detail. But he said, well, we have to look at it this way. Whatever is fair and equitable. And I thought, what? What? Huh?
Pastor, wasn't he?
He's a missionary or a pastor?
President of a seminary. Okay. So I thought, Lord, because I was sort of newish and the Jewish, or newish, see, there's that ish again, newish in the Jewish work. I said, Lord, please show me what, how I could respond to somebody who says that. And went home, and I'm telling you, it was totally only God who directed me to Ezekiel 35, you know, and then 36. Because, and just read it at home, all right? But Pat, here's another thing. If you're talking with somebody who has a different thought than what we're talking about regarding God's promises to Israel, and they're not buying it, let's say, it would be great to bring up the fact that the truth that the angel of the Lord came to Hagar first. Angel of the Lord, who is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. I think that would just set a tone for that conversation. That would be grand. It really would be. Mm-hmm. So if any of you have those kinds of conversations with them. In fact, actually, you know, listen to this. Talk about a lot of the Middle Eastern people are, you know, going to all the different countries, right? And we need to pray, and I'm not going to mention names, but for a group of our ladies who's now, they're now in the UK, okay, and they're ministering just for 9 days, 6 or 9 days, something like that, and they're ministering to churches in various parts of the UK, and in one of those churches, the service is all in Farsi. So that says something right there, you know. And you made a comment, Bobby, the other day when I told you that. You said,
a former Bible teacher of ours, Skip Ask, who's a senior pastor on the west side of town, made a statement 15 years ago that Great Britain was becoming the first country in all of Europe that was going to be majority Muslim. Yeah. The general population, majority Muslim.
Yeah. Yeah, and I hadn't remembered, you know, him saying that. Yeah, because the Farsi struck me too. Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, so where are we? Throughout, all right, on your handout, I'm on page 2. Is it 10? Oh, all right.
All right. I'm trying to lie when you're having a good time.
What's that?
I said, how time flies.
Oh, I know.
Good time.
Because we wanted to get to this expansion. Okay. But it says on the in the paragraph underneath the last bullet, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, the angel of the Lord often appeared in human form. And sometimes we hear his voice, right? As when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, we hear his voice in Genesis 22, stopping Abraham from sacrificing Isaac, and in Exodus 3, when the angel of the Lord calls out to Moses from the burning bush. Okay, then we see the commander of the Lord of hosts. He's not called the angel of the Lord, but he's called the commander of the Lord of hosts. It is, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, and he appears to whom? Joshua. He appears to Joshua in Joshua 5 before the children of Israel go into battle, Jericho, the next day. And then we see Jacob wrestling a man in Genesis 32:30, and Jacob called, and I have the verse written out, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. My life is preserved. He has seen God face to face in that wrestling match with the man in the capital M, whatever. The angel of the Lord guided the people of Israel. He spoke the promises of God to Israel, and he obligated himself regarding delivering on those promises. He spoke prophecies. He administered judgment on Israel's enemies. And he frequently receives the honor and the respect from people who bow down to him. And he doesn't say, no, get up, I'm not God. You know, he receives that respect and that worship. Yet at times he's distinguished from God. So look at Exodus 23:20
And I crossed out 21 because while that's in there, I'm just going to mention, and it's not in, I haven't written it out in your handout, but that verse says, behold, God the Father is speaking, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. All right? So there's a distinguishing factor there. Okay, but actually, then my next comment is the existence of the angel of the Lord supports the Trinity, because we see a pre-incarnate appearance of God the Son, Jesus, pre-existent from eternity past, and we see him as our personal God who desires to communicate with us. So he supports the Trinity. Great, it is noted, I think, and maybe not so much, no. A great passage regarding the Trinity is Isaiah 48, verses 12 to 16. And why don't we look at that now, because we're not going to make any great time on this. So Isaiah 48, if you're ever getting into a conversation about the Trinity, you never know with someone who's not a believer. It's always exciting. Okay, starting in verse 12 of Isaiah 48. And it says, listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel my called, because Jacob's name was changed to Israel. I am he, I am the first, I am also the last. So who do you think is speaking there? God the Father, right? Okay. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, although, you know, he created through the Son. Okay. And my right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand up together. All of you, assemble yourselves and hear. Who among them has declared these things? The Lord loves him. He shall do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Yes, I have called him. I have brought him, and his way will prosper. Verse 16 is the climax here. Come near to me. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, I was there, and now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. So you see all three persons of the Trinity.
Don't you think verse 12 is Jesus? Because Jesus says, I'm the first and the last.
Oh, yeah. But I wanted to start it. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, because we could, yeah, definitely give that reference. I am the first and the last. But as we go down here, and especially that it is in Isaiah, that we would think in reading this that this is God the Father. Okay, that's where I'm going with it. Okay. But I wanted to point that out because definitely three persons of the Trinity are mentioned in that passage. Okay. Any questions yet? Bobby?
It's not a question, but I was just checking some numbers. That number that Skip gave us was way off. The Muslim population in England is 6%.
Is 6?
6. Oh. 6-0. Not 6-0. 6%.
Wow.
Yeah, so England has a 6. Sorry for this, but I wanted to clarify.
Yeah, okay.
68 million people live there, 4 million are Muslim.
Okay. But didn't
I had heard it was France.
You had heard it was France?
I could see that years ago.
Azerbaijan has a 95% Muslim population. Albania, Bosnia, and Herzegovina has a 50%+. So they're right at the 50% point. And then it goes down from there.
Okay. But didn't Skip mention it as far as sort of something that would happen in the future that they're not there yet?
He said it's headed in that direction, but I don't remember any more details. That's like 15, 20 years ago.
Okay. Okay. Richard?
The fact that Ezekiel on 20, verse 21, it says, no part of your transgression, for my name is in him.
Oh, right. I want to go there. I'm going to go there because that is a very telling verse, okay? But let's see. The angel of the Lord, which I have underscored, God himself, God the Son, in the middle of page 2, himself revealed himself in a visible, personal way, taking a physical form. The reason why I said before the commander, the Lord of hosts, was a pre-incarnate Jesus, okay? We're not calling him the angel of the Lord, right? You understand what I'm saying? Or when Jacob wrestles with the man in Genesis 32, it doesn't say the angel of the Lord, but it's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, because here's where I'm coming from. Which person of the Godhead has come in the flesh?
Jesus.
Yeah. Spirit, the Holy Spirit is spirit. God the Father is spirit. So whenever we see a physical form of who God is, that's why I'm calling it a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Just in case you wondered, okay? So that's where I'm coming from. Let's see. And again, we only see the angel of the Lord in the Hebrew scriptures. I'm looking at, okay, here we go. Going back to what Richard was saying, in Exodus 23, 20 to 21, which is written out, going towards the bottom of page 2, God says, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared." Then he says, "Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him." So we know that this is God, because only God forgives sin. Okay? And we know that this is God because, like Richard was saying, his name, Yahweh, is in the name Yahshua. All right? And also, Yahweh means righteousness, means Jehovah. Whenever you see Lord in all caps, it's Jehovah. And if you go, and we're not going to take the time to look at this, I know that you'll look at it on your own. In Jeremiah 23, verses 5 to 6, those two verses say that Jesus' name is the Lord, Jehovah, our righteousness. Okay? So so that's the verses. There are more than that about the angel of the Lord and who he is. Okay? But why is God telling the children of Israel to beware of this angel? And he calls him an angel, okay? But this angel is God, because if he's provoked, he will not pardon your transgressions. So he's God. So, but why is God telling them to beware of him? Any thoughts?
That he's holy?
Hmm?
That he's holy? That he's holy, he's God.
Oh, that because he's holy? But do we have to beware, you know what I'm saying? When God in his holiness, it's his justice that's being talked about at the same time. So, okay.
He's telling them that if they obey him, that he will do everything for them, mm-hmm. and be their advocate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And God has always said that, especially in the Hebrew scriptures, obey me, obey me, obey me. And if you don't, there's going to be chastisement. There's going to be judgment. Bobby, were you saying something?
Fear of the Lord.
Oh, fear of the Lord, like reverence.
Someone else over the fear of the Lord.
Okay, fear of the Lord.
Take heed. Take heed is a translation of Bible.
Okay, let's go further, Michelle.
Well, they had just received the Mosaic covenant, and that was a if-then covenant. If you obey, you have blessings, and if you don't, there are curses.
Right.
So,
which I was just saying, yeah.
If this is God, the angel of the Lord is God, he's reminding them that God is in your presence, and mm-hmm. and you need to be aware of what I've just presented you with, your blessings and curses. Mm-hmm. Choose. I'm here. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just keep it in mind. Just keep beware in mind.
Okay.
Okay? And, but he will not pardon your transgressions. Okay? You know, just keep it in mind. Okay. How does this impact what we've said thus far? What are you thinking of the angel of the Lord?
Pretty stern.
Huh?
Pretty stern.
Stern, okay.
Might like
Okay. Would you say that he is compassionate too, though?
Yes.
You know, when I think of him coming to Hagar.
Yeah.
But Stern, okay. We are going to just look at a couple more verses. Maybe we'll get through. And the next one, passage is 2 Samuel 24, 10 to 16. It's on the bottom of page 2, and it's rather long, but it's important. Okay? And again, we're going to read this remembering that God's attributes exist and operate simultaneously all the time. All right. And David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. How many of you have read that in the past about the census being taken of the military, okay? The backstory is that David had taken the census for military purposes. But who told the children of Israel that they would fight for them?
God,
yeah. In Exodus 14, 14, God said, I will fight for you. So we need to take note of that. But you know what's interesting, too? In the chapter before, 2 Samuel 24, we see God, David's mighty men, all recorded, his mighty men. It goes down the line, mighty men, in 2 Samuel 23, verses 8 to 38. So since David, it says, we just started off this passage, David's heart condemned him. What is he condemning himself for? Taking the census. He shouldn't have done that. He has known not to do that. But that taking of the census was his prideful act, okay? And David was placing more trust in the military, in his military might, than in God. And then he would take the credit for the military victories, okay? You know, it's interesting, in 1 Chronicles 21, and I think I had it listed for you. Yeah, I do. 1 Chronicles 21:1, it says, it's a companion passage. Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. Okay, just keep that in the back of your mind, all right? Talk about, oh man, confusing. Let's go back to 2 Samuel 24. It says, so David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Now when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, who was David's seer, saying, go and tell David, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things, God is telling David, okay, through Gad. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. Verse 13 says, so Gad came to David and told him, shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land, or shall you flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you? These are the options, one of which David can choose from. Or shall there be 3 days plague in your land? Now consider and see what answer I should take back to him, to God who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. Right? So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel from the morning till the appointed time, from Dan all the way in the north to Beersheba in the south. 70,000 men of the people died. And when the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented. He expressed sorrow from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, it is enough, now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. So we are given the identity of the angel who was stretching out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it. And that angel is whom?
The angel of the Lord.
Yeah, the angel of the Lord. Okay. And then we see the angel of the Lord by Jerusalem that the angel of the Lord was going to destroy. So... Wow.
It's interesting that David was the one that sinned by taking the census, and that he didn't say, I will flee for 3 months.
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, yeah. That's fine, yeah.
You know, that he basically had 70,000 people killed because of his wrongdoing.
But he just said, let me, us hand into, did he say us or me? To hand, fall into the hand of the Lord. Please let us. He said, "Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for His mercies are great."
But don't let me fall into the hand of the
Lord. Right, right. Yeah. No, you didn't say that.
The hand of man.
Yeah. So, but what would we have said? You know,
yeah.
But
yeah.
But 24:1 says, "Again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel." And he incited David against them, saying, go and take the census of Israel and Judah.
What, you're reading from 2 Samuel?
24, yes,
24:1. Okay, okay.
So, in reading that, and I don't...
But that's where you have to go into 1 Chronicles 21, because Satan stood up against Israel and move David to number Israel. Okay?
Yeah, just reading this, it looks...
But for God to have... Okay, who is surpassing all? As we've said before, who is wonderful? God.
God.
Mm-hmm. And I had read something, I have to tell you, in Scripture, and during devotions just the other day, and I thought, have you ever thought this? Really, God?
I'm saying ever.
And then, because I'm in the midst of writing this, I'm saying, God, you have a reason for what we read in Scripture. And God is holy always, and He's righteous, and He's sovereign, and He allows Satan to do things that we might not understand. Okay, Richard?
Now, someone gave me a reason. He's a Bible study leader I respect, but I haven't looked it up myself. He thinks these people were the ones who rebelled against King David, but I don't know. I haven't been bothered to look, and it may not say anything about that. But that's his opinion.
I don't know.
Because God was able to get them out with this plague, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, but there are those who rebelled against David that were adhering to Absalom, his son. Was it 70,000, you know?
Yeah, it was probably more than that, but it's.
Well, yeah, all Israel came against him. But that's not exactly where I'm going with this, why this passage is in there, what you're asking, okay? What God does, God does. If we start questioning that, where does that leave us? You know, say God.
Doubting Thomas.
Huh?
Doubting Thomas.
Yeah. So where I'm going is, what about this angel? And this angel is the angel of the Lord. Is this angel of the Lord God? Amen. He's God. He's a pre-incarnate appearance of the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. He's God. And here he is by the threshing floor, and Jerusalem was and is a threshing floor. It's known as the way the geography is laid out, but not the geography. What do I want to say?
Topography.
Thank you. The way it's laid out. But here he is. And this is just one verse. I wanted to get to at least this, okay, in our study. So what are you thinking? Does God have the prerogative to do this?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what the rest of the handout goes through, and we really need to cut it short, but we're going to go through it next week. And so I want them back. No, I'm only kidding. So I hope you will read them, you know, and see where this is all coming from. What has been set up in the history of Israel, in the government of Israel, going back to Numbers 35. And in the, who says, vengeance is mine?
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it enters into it. Okay. You don't look excited. Okay. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for, again, the freedom to turn to your word and what you've laid out for us. I pray, God, that our faith might be strengthened, and, Lord, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.